Let's get the recording going so they can listen to it afterwards.
Wonderful. We'll start the recording and start Spanish interpretation. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to today's ALAC new members onboarding call on Monday the 18th of January at 1300 UTC. On today's call we have Alan Greenberg, Kali Khan, Sébastien Bachelet, Harold Arkosh, Sean Ojedeji, and Wafa Damani. No apologies noted. From staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Young, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Our interpreters today are Veronica and David. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other channel and to speak loudly and clearly in order to allow for accurate interpretation. Thank you, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much, Gisela.
Alan, it's Tim Denton, and I'm on the call.
Thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Okay. The reason for this call is, and it's something we should have done earlier in the ICANN year, but the events of accountability and things have just taken up too much of our time and too much of our focus. The intent is to try to set expectations, and we can normally do that in a typical year with only one or two people changing, essentially with one-on-one. But with so many people this year, it's really been difficult. And it's become clear that, at least for some people, the expectations, what they think they're expected to do does not match our expectations. And it's an interesting year in that we have some people, like Sebastian, who have been around forever, virtually, although not on the ALAC recently, and some things may well have changed since he was last on the ALAC. Shun, who's been around as a participant in a lot of these things and is probably aware of the details just because he's absorbed them. And then we have other people who are brand new to ICANN and to At Large, and there's no reason for them to come in with any innate knowledge. So we're just trying to do a level set here. The main thing, and I'll summarize very quickly, is to give an idea of what the expectations are. Everyone who's on this group volunteered to do it, either volunteered through their RALO or volunteered through the NOMCOM. And although I'm afraid we don't pay you anything for it, we do have expectations of what people should be doing. And I'll list some of them, but I encourage questions to further expand on them. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. We have meetings. We have meetings that are teleconferences. We have meetings that are face-to-face. And we expect people to be there and to participate. That sounds intuitively obvious, perhaps, but it's not in many cases. Now, we understand that certainly for teleconferences, occasionally they're at a time when you just can't make it. And if that's the case, then we expect you to say so ahead of time. Our presumption is you will be there unless you send apologies. And the assumption is you'll take the time sometime later to listen to the recording and to make sure you're up to date on whatever happened there. We also like people to actually participate when they're on the call. And, the ALAC is only the sum of its parts. And if people are not actively participating, both in teleconferences and in email, then really it's going to be, we're going to end up doing things based on what one or two people think and not the whole group. Email is another important part of what we do. And there are two different kinds of email. One is simple questions and answers, and we expect people to respond moderately quickly. So you clearly don't have to be on your email 24 hours a day and respond to everything immediately, but it's good to check email at least once a day. Weekends, we understand sometimes people are off, sometimes they're not. But staff will ask questions or will follow up on things, and email has to be the prime way of getting hold of you if, you know, if some issue comes up. We do a lot of decisions based on consensus, and consensus calls typically are via email, and they're worded to the in the general tone of, unless you disagree, you don't have to speak up. And something is decided by consensus, assuming there are not significant disagreements with it. On the other hand, for a number of things, we do have formal votes, and we do expect people to, everyone to participate. Most votes are open for 5 or 7 days. Occasionally, there's one that's much shorter than that, if time is of essence. But we do expect everyone to vote, and quite candidly, it's a rare vote these days that we have all 15 people voting. So we're not there yet. Most of what we're talking about here is documented. If you look at the ALAC Rules of Procedure, and I'll put the URL in the chat, that's a web. What's in the chat is a web page pointing to all of the documents associated, you know, essentially the rule sets. There are some sections in the rules of procedure proper that talk about what our expectations are from ALAC members, and there's also a document called a position description, which goes into a little bit more detail talking about things. So the workload is not, you know, it's not a full-time job, but we do expect people to, you know, attend to it regularly. Otherwise, we're in a position where the region that you're representing is just not going to be it's not going to be represented, I guess. And I'll have more to say in terms of relationships with RALOs, but we'll get to that a little bit later. And over to whoever's next. Anybody here?
Yes. Hi, Ariel is going to. This is Heidi, and Ariel is going to take you through the policy advice process.
What?
And she is.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming if anyone has any questions, they're just going to raise a hand or call out if they're not on Adobe. So, not seeing anyone, I didn't ask for questions, but please make this as interactive. If you have any anything you want to call us on, then please do it as we're going through it. Okay, Ariel.
Thanks, Alan. This is Sarah Leon for the record. Welcome, everybody, for attending the onboarding call, and also a late Happy New Year. So I'm going to walk through the ALAC policy advice development process in the level of detail as if everybody is actually a newcomer, because we do have a couple of really new ALAC members. So if some of the details you already know if you're experienced membering at large, but I think it will still be beneficial for the new members. I'm referring to the, I think a lot of you are already on the onboarding document. That's, the link is pasted in the chat. And the page I'm referencing right now is the page number 10 to number 13. That's the only about the policy part of the ALAC work. So I think you can also take a look at it when I'm walking through this process. So in general, the ALAC does not develop policies like the GNSO or the CCNSO, the supporting organization. The ALAC is an advisory committee. So what it does is to publicize, analyze, and provide advice on proposed ICANN policies and decisions that reflect the views and needs of individual internet users at the regional and global levels. So that's a general overview. And then the policies that ALAC comment on are usually related to the TLDs, but then the ALAC also comment on other work from the ICANN community, such as reviews and, I heard my audio is not very good. Is my audio still okay? Or?
Yes, thank you, Ariel. Veronica and David, would you be so kind as to confirm whether the audio is still saturated or not? Thank you.
Testing. Is my audio okay, David? Veronica?
It's better now. Thank you, Ariel. Please continue. Thank you. That's Gisela.
Thanks, Gisela. Back to the summary, the ALEC developed advice not just related to TLD policies, but also other work that's initiated by the ICANN community, or the ICANN staff and board. So we have this new large website built out, and I will paste the link in the chat. And as you can see on the homepage, there's a big pie, and that's the topics that the ALEC has commented on, provided advice on. So in your spare time, you can click through the pie chart and take a look at the areas that the ALEC provided advice on. So that's a general overview, and how the ALEC provides advice. So ICANN public comment proceedings is actually the main channel that to provide advice. So I will give you a quick kind of overview of what ICANN public comment is about. So there is another page, which is on the ICANN.org, the main website for ICANN, and that's dedicated to ICANN public comment. So public comment is actually a vital element in ICANN's decision-making process, where everybody is given opportunity to comment on topic-specific reports, proposals, recommendations, and other policy deliverables initiated by the ICANN community or staff department. And then each of the public comment, they have their own workspace, and the workspace looks like this, and then they will provide background overview and key documents and other reference resources on this workspace. And of course, there will also be a link to the comment forum where the public provides comment on, and you can read through the comments submitted for that particular topic. And so each public comment is open for at least 40 days, and then during that period, any individual or organization, internal or external to ICANN, can submit comments. And then after the comment period closes, ICANN staff will produce a summary report that compiles and synthesizes the comments received, and then that comments will be incorporated in the next deliverable. Could be the final report or things like that, et cetera. So that's a quick overview of the public comments. And the ALEC has an internal process of developing policy advice in response to public comment proceeding, and I have showed this graphic in this on the screen. This was produced several years ago, so it's not really accurate at this point, and you have some update, but still will give you a kind of a general picture how the process works. So when a public comment opens, the first step for the ALEC is to create this policy workspace. The staff in support of the ALEC will create that workspace on the wiki. And this is a very important wiki space, so I'm going to also paste that in the chat. And the main purpose for this wiki workspace is first to transfer all the public comment related information over here to this blue box. It's actually a simple copy paste from the public comment page on ICANN.org. And then another important utilization for this wiki workspace is to document this whole internal timeline for the ALEC to produce this draft statement, and also who are the pen holders, and et cetera. And then the third use for this wiki space is to upload like draft statements underneath and allow the community to comment on. So that's I kind of jump a few steps ahead, but just to give you a kind of a taste of why the wiki space is needed and how it is used. So once the wiki workspace is created, there will be email sent to the whole at large community, and it usually look like this, called New Public Comment and on the title of the public comment, and on, in the body of the email, you will know when the comment, the public comment period is starting from what day to end what day, and then the link to the public, the wiki workspace will also be included in the email. And that's just to, it's usually sent through the ALAC announce mailing list and also to that large worldwide mailing list so that all the community members, they will know about this public comment period. And then the ALAC will come to a consensus and will decide whether the ALAC should really comment on this public comment, submit a draft statement or not. And as many of you are already aware, this process is usually taking place during the ALAC teleconference call and or the ALAC leadership team call. And also a lot of times it's discussed via the mailing list or even Skype chat. In fact, there's an informal Skype chat for the ALAC leadership team to just discuss public comment. And so in those ways, the ALAC will come to a decision whether a statement is necessary or not for this public comment. And during this process, a lot of those subject matter experts will be consulted within that large community. So when public comment, the ALAC decides to write a statement on that public comment, a pen holder needs to be identified. So a pen holder can be an individual or a group of individuals responsible for writing an initial draft on the statement in response to the public comment. One thing I want to clarify is that an ALAC statement does not need to be written by an ALAC member. And in fact, anybody within that large community can draft a statement on behalf of the ALAC. That being said, a lot of ALAC members and liaisons, they frequently draft statements because their knowledge, their expertise, their experience with the community, and also their leadership role in representing the interests of the internet and users within ICANN. So it's very common for ALAC members to draft statements. So once a pen holder is identified, I will work with the pen holder and also Alan in general to shepherd the process of producing this first draft. And once a first draft is developed, it will be published on the workspace that I showed you earlier, so right here. And then usually it's going to be posted right below first draft submitted, right below here. And then a call for comments period will begin. And so then you will see an email like this that's sent to the ALAC announce and a large worldwide mailing list called Call for Comments and then Draft ALAC Statement on the title of the public comment. And so in the body of this email, it will direct reader to the workspace to review the... there's some echo. Can everybody unmute?
Looks like it's coming from Wafa.
Oh, I think it's Wafa.
She's out.
Oh, not yet. Testing. Okay, sounds good now. I'll continue. So a call for comments email will be sent to the ALAC announcement and a large worldwide mailing list. And then in this email, you will see by what day and time this call for comments period, the internal commenting period, will end. So that's also a kind of opportunity to invite everybody, the ALAC members and the large members in general, to comment on the draft. So that's for call for comment. And once the call for comment ended, then the pen holder will incorporate the comments received and finalize the final statement. And then once the final draft is produced, it will be pasted on the workspace, in the workspace under final draft version to be voted upon by the ALEC, and that's where the final draft will be. And the next step is ratification votes. So the 15 ALEC members will hold this vote to determine whether the final draft should be approved and submitted to the public comment as a formal ALEC policy advice statement. And as you already seen, a lot of those votes are conducted through the Big Pulse, the electronic forum, and where all the ALEC members are receiving this particular email called vote credentials. And then this email will tell you the vote is held from what day to what day. And then when you click this link, this phrase that will direct you to the poll online to cast your vote. So that was usually the process for ratifying statements. But of course, some of the statements are ratified during the ALEC teleconferences or either the face-to-face sessions in ICANN meetings. So there's also those cases. And according to the ALEC rules of procedures, it is a responsibility for the ALEC members to vote. But I would, of course, understand sometimes you couldn't have time to read the statement on time to vote, so it's understood. But from the staff side, for a procedure purpose, we, of course, record who has voted or not, so it's all documented. So that's kind of the overall process of this ALEC policy advice development. And then from the staff side, my role is to help the ALEC to kind of shepherd the process, and then also some additional responsibilities that I currently hold is to help provide editorial suggestions to the draft statement. So I actually work with the pen holders and review their draft and then provide some of my comments. And sometimes also if the ALEC has no time to draft the statement through volunteer time, then I sometimes get instruction and will following the view provided by the ALEC members and produce the initial draft for the ALEC members review. And that's, of course, under the guidance of our members. So that's my view, my work that's supporting this process. And for all the past ALEC statements, you can also find them on the new at-large website. I'm going to paste this link in the chat. That's a page that includes all of the ALEC statements in the past, and it's about 336. Maybe not the exact number. We need to figure out whether all the documents we published here, but our ALEC statements. But it's a 300-plus ALEC statements in the past, and you can find them through looking at the topic, and then these boxes, and you can check them, and you can see the statements corresponding to those topic area, or you can look at the statement based on their status. So it's very handy if you want to find a statement that currently called for comment, for example. Then you can check that box, and then we'll show you which one is soliciting internal input. And then, of course, you can put keywords in this box. Like, for example, if you want to find a large summit declaration, for example, you just put Atlas in the keyword, and then you will find it. These are the declarations. So I want you to take a moment, and is there any questions or comments for this process that I can answer right away?
Ariel Shun asked in the chat whether the website is being kept up to date 100% guaranteed right now, since it's not really live.
Thanks.
That isn't what he asked,
but
that's the way I'm wording it.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. So for this beta site, it is kept absolutely 100% up to date. So rest assured that you can find all the statements that you need to find, and especially the ones in progress, I will make sure to update their internal timeline when we figure it out, and also when we have a draft statement posted, I will post the link under this activity log, so you can find all the things that you need. And also, it's a parallel process because we still have the old website, which is at large.icann.org, and there's this page called correspondence page. That's the equivalent of the policy pages on the new website. I'm still updating that page because I have learned that it will be easier to put all the documents on the old site and migrate over to the new site, so we have the records kind of comprehensive on both sites. Until this this old site is sunset, I will still keep updating both parts, so you can find statements on both. I'm also going to paste the
details. Ariel, I presume that the new site is still under development. Is that the case?
Yes, but not the policy part. The policy part is complete. Actually, one thing is we're incorporating translation for the policy part, so you will be able to see French, Spanish, Chinese, and other UN language version of the policy part. So that's the only part that's being developed at this moment for the policy.
Okay, but Shun asked, is the website kept up to date? And you're saying the policy part is. There's a difference, so I just want to make sure we're all saying the same thing. Okay.
I presume we're just referring to the policy part of the website. But I can talk to Shun offline about the other part.
All right.
Any other questions?
I don't have a question, but I have something to say. One of the things that we're starting to do right now is traditionally policy statements have been written purely by volunteers. And we are now using Ariel and perhaps other people as we go forward to do final editing, cleanup of things, and we will be experimenting with actually having staff do the drafting under instruction from the subject experts within the volunteer group. So we're trying to remove the need to be able to be a perfect writer and someone who is very comfortable writing documents for publication, trying to separate that from contributing the ideas. So we'll be going forward, we'll be trying to do more of that and see how it works out. That's all I have.
Ariel, this is Heidi. Ariel, did you want to mention the plans for developing one-pagers that will highlight the end user perspective and for public comment?
Sure, I can briefly mention that. So there's this particular product called the One Pager that was done by the GNSO staff. It's actually called the GNSO Policy Update, I think. I'm going to paste this link in the chat too. Or maybe not. I will try to find that right policy page. So it's mainly about the policy development process within the GNSO, and then the GNSO staff will, on a monthly basis, provide a one-page summary of that policy development process. And it's usually very succinct, and then we'll highlight what this GNSO PDP working group has done over the past month, whether there's any major developments, and what are the opportunities for the community to engage. What I'm doing with the GNSO staff right now is to try to figure out a way to communicate that information to the wider at large community. So we will repurpose that one pager and we'll add one paragraph or so at the end, highlighting why the end users should care about this particular policy development process within the GNSO, and what part of the PDP deliverable, for example, the at-large community members can focus on reading or provide advice on. But this is a kind of a pilot or some kind of initiative that has never done before. So, of course, Alan, I will need to work with you and other experts in the at-large community to understand what's the best way to draft that particular one paragraph or so about the end-user input for the GNSO PDP. That's about that one pager. And Alan, if you'd like to talk offline about that later, I will reach out to you. So I think I just want to kind of wrap up this part by adding a couple of other comments I have. So besides the public comments, I'm going to put this paragraph here. It's on page number 12. The ALAC does not provide advice strictly related to ICANN public comments, and actually the ALAC can provide advice in other ways. So for example, if the ALAC identified a topic that's of vital importance to end users, they can draft a statement and submit it to the ICANN board as a formal ALAC advice. So for example, you probably saw there's one drafted by Holly and Carlton on the RDAP. That's the one that was submitted last year in December. That was not prompted by a public comment, but it's actually on the initiative of Holly and Carlton and other ALAC members. And then and some other ways for ALAC to provide advice is responding to the GNSO working group request for input. So, for example, there's a request for input for this GNSO working group on use of country and territory names as the top-level domains. and you can see in the blue box here is the context of this request for input. It's not a public comment, but it's more like an informal way for the GNSO to solicit comments from other communities on their work. And then the ALAC drafted a statement on that. So that's not really strictly related to a public comment. And of course, ALAC does not provide comments in isolation. It has a lot of interaction with other community groups to understand how policies are developed. And that's why the ALAC has formally appointed liaisons to the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the ASAC, as well as representatives in cross-community working groups and review teams. For example, Kylie, you have been recently appointed to the CPP, so that's all these efforts, so that ALAC will have members in those groups to advocate for end-user interests. And then another way for ALAC to interact with other communities in terms of policy advice is sometimes ALAC drafts a joint statement with other community groups. And if you are curious what are those joint statements, so you can also go to this new website, and if you just put, for example, a keyword joint, and then you can see there's some joint letter, joint proposal, like things in the history that ALAC drafted advice on with the other communities. And another way for ALAC to interact with the other community is actually initiating public comment. And I have a short work history in at large, so I don't know how many in the past for like ALAC initiated public comment, but I saw one at least in 2014. It's on a public advisory board, and the ALAC actually worked with the business constituency in GNSO to initiate that public comment. So that's another way for community interaction for the ALAC. In conclusion, there's one thing probably I want to clarify is the difference between the ALAC and a large community. So The ALAC is the advisory committee within the ICANN community frame, the multi-stakeholder model. So it has a certain unique capabilities, such as initiating public comments, for example, or request the GNSO to initiate a public comment. And I think, Alan, you once mentioned to me there's an example there. And that's something the wider at-large community couldn't really do, but the ALAC has this power to do that. And, of course, the formal statements from the ALAC, the formal advice, carries certain weight. So that's one distinction between the ALAC and the wider at-large community. But, of course, the ALAC cannot provide advice single-handedly without getting input from the wider community. So that's why ALAC members have this role to work with RALOS, for example, to talk to them about the policy advice work in ICANN and solicit feedback for draft statements. Let's wrap up my section of policy advice development. And I see Alan has his hand raised. And Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on the rationale for why the ALAC may make statements or advice or give advice. And we use the term advice very sparingly. Advice is really, we could give advice to anyone, but the only group that we're really mandated to give advice to is the board. And if we formally call something advice, then we trigger a process to which requires a certain amount of follow-up and response from the board. The bulk of our statements are aimed not at the board, but at some other group, and usually in response to something they have asked. So those are really just comments. They're not advice as such. But one of the questions that people ask is, what is the user connection? Now, there are some comments that we make which clearly have a user implication. And for those, it's easy. We also, however, comment on a large number of things that are internal to ICANN. And the rationale there is not necessarily that there's a direct user involvement, because sometimes there is and sometimes there isn't. But the other part is we can only function within a viable, useful ICANN. So a lot of what we do ends up being aimed at ICANN itself to make sure that ICANN is an organization where we can be effective when we do have something to say with regard to users. So if you look at all the work we're doing on accountability, there may be no connection. It's debatable. But we don't need to talk about that. Whether there is a real user involvement directly. But without a viable ICANN, then we can't exist and be effective in the other areas. So it's an internal process to make sure that we're living in an environment which can effectively serve the users. And that's all I have. We have a hand from Sebastian.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I agree with you. My comments was more about the word we are using to talk about ALAC, at large, the wider community, the wider at large community, and we have to fix that, because if you hear the people in charge of ICANN at the higher level, the CEO, the chair of the board, some member of the board. For them, it's ALAC is the at-large community within ICANN. They don't understand that ALAC is just 15 members representing, but just 15 members. And ALAC is not the ALS, it's not the RALO, and so on and so forth. And we have to fix those words, because we are in a very, trouble to explain how we organize, what we do. And even if we do this presentation, I have done that for the board a at least two times when I was board member. But still, it's not easy to be sure that they will use the right word for the right people or organizations that are talking about it. And my second point is that we need also to be clear that we can, as ALAC, comment, advice, whatever we want to do, on everything related to what ICANN mission is. That means that not just TLD, it was said, but we have to stress that we can say something about the IP addresses. We can, even if we have no liaison to the ISO, we can say things about the root server, even if we don't have liaison to AirSAC. We can say something about what the GAC is producing, even if we don't have liaison to the GAC. So liaison is not a reason why we can do a comment. We may end up to have liaison to all those bodies, it will be good, but for the moment it's not the case. And ALAC is a really cross organization to all the ICANN issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Two thoughts on that. First of all, with regard to the difference between ALAC and at large, every time we get a new CEO or chair of the board, we go into an education campaign to try to explain the differences between them. And we're semi-successful on occasion and other times not. But it's not unique to at large. There is probably only a very, very small number of people who accurately use the terms GNSO and GNSO Council correctly. And the GNSO is comparable to at large and the GNSO Council to ALAC. And people use the term GNSO interchangeably to be both of them. So it is a problem, but it's not a problem unique to us. And the same with the CCNSO. So I think it's part of the territory. In regard to making statements on other things other than GTLDs, that's correct. We don't often have something to say in regard to root servers, but should we have something to say, we could certainly say it. There's no question there. Anyone else with any comments, questions on this area? Okay, then I think working groups is next, and that's Heidi.
Yes, thank you, Alan. And as we get the slides up, just to come back to Sebastian's point and to Alan's point, for my part, and I hope for my team's part, when Fadi first joined, that was the first thing I explained to him, was that if he was to understand ALAC and at large, he needs to know the difference between the two. And I will make it a point to stress that in my briefing for the board at the ICANN meeting. That's a lot different.
But Heidi, we won't win. We won't win.
Yes. Well, okay. We have to fight the fight, Alan.
Okay. While the slides are coming up, I'll do an intro. I'm not sure what's in the slides, but I'll point out that in this context, we're using the term working group in a very general sense. Some of our things are called working groups, some are called subcommittees, some are called task forces. This is a generic term.
Yeah, I have a slide on that, actually.
Oh, okay,
but,
sorry.
Then when I go through the various ones, Gisela, are they coming up? Gisela?
Yes, Sean, correctly. We've invented a new term, and we use it regularly now.
We have a lot of different names for what we actually, I believe that the ROPs, the rules of procedure, call them work teams, I think. But anyway, we don't even use that. But before I start, I just wanted to stress that one of the key strengths of the at-large community and the ALAC is that they are bottom-up. The at-large community is a bottom-up, has a bottom-up organization. And very unique, again, within all of ICANN is that at large represents the end users, and it aims to be a bottom-up approach or structure. And that means that in the policy advice statement, it is very useful, at least from the perspective of the board, and I've heard this on numerous occasions, if they could actually hear from the at-large structures, from the unaffiliated individual members, you know, stressing this is the end user perspective from this region, et cetera. So that would be very useful to bring that up. And one of the key ways that that can happen is that as policy advice development is made or developed, that part of that development takes place in the policy advice development working groups. So during this presentation, this is largely drawn from a capacity building webinar that I presented late last year. I've adapted them, and I'm not going to go through all of the text that's on there, but I wanted to use these slides as an overview to this topic. So three main points here on this presentation. One is the overview of at-large working groups, and again, that's in the larger context. Then the introduction to the types of at-large working groups, and I've divided them into three types. The first one is policy-based working groups, those that are made specifically for working on policy advice development. The second type are the outreach and engagement types of working groups. And then the third type are the process-based working groups. Finally, how to join, and just very briefly, how as an ALAC member or anybody can join these groups. Now, some are membership-based, and we'll go through that. The fourth point is that questions and answers, but as we've been seeing during the previous presentations, please do raise your hands during the discussion, and I'll take the questions at that point. So to begin, just a little bit of overview of at-large working groups for those of you who are real newbies, new people to at-large and ALAC. Much of the work, as I've mentioned, of the ALAC is made to these working groups. And the primary activity of these at-large working groups includes either development of policy advice that feeds into the ALAC statement. They have provision of advice to the ALAC on a specific project or an ongoing project-related activity, for example, oversight to the finance, to the budget, to the ICANN budget. That would be oversight to the next one, oversight on an ongoing process. And then carrying out actions delegated by the ALAC or related to policy, process, or outreach and engagement. So a little bit of background. After the first at-large summit in March 2009, that's when we really saw a significant growth in the number and types of at-large working groups. Prior to that, there was only, I think, just a couple. One was the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, and then heading into that first summit, there were several developed to plan that summit. And then following the results of that first summit was a declaration, and a lot of work was made on specific policy issues, and then that saw the development of specific working groups for policy-related types of groups. Currently, there are 19. At this time, because of the focus on the CCWG, on the transition work, active here, as I've listed on the slide, is a little bit probably not the right word for some of them. A lot of them are currently somewhat inactive, and perhaps some of you might wish to make them more active and even chair some. So I'll talk to you a little bit about which working groups those are. So on this slide, there is a picture of the working group portal, and that is easily, you can get to that, you can see the slide, the blue arrow points, that purple gateway box on the main ALAC portal. So once you come to the ALAC site, you can see this little gateway box is on most of the wiki pages, and that will right away take you to a link called the working groups, and that lists all of the working groups that are currently active, as well as a link to the archive groups. Now, also important on this page, it shows the staff lead for each working group. So if you're active, if you become chair of one of these are the people that would be on those calls and leading from the subject matter expert, or at least the person leading the process within the staff. So if you, you know, identify or contact that person or use the at-large staff account. Now, also on the new large website, Ariel and her team working on this have made a really clear page or section on the homepage that shows all of those working groups that link directly to the wiki. So that's a good way. You can go directly from that new beta page to your working group of interest. Okay, this is what Alan was mentioning. There are several types of at-large working groups. Subcommittee is the first one. These are typically an ongoing task that requires formal ALAC motions and voting. For example, currently the ALAC Subcommittee on Finance and Budget has an ongoing mandate of requesting and monitoring funding of ICANN. Then there are standing working groups, and these are generally working groups that are work on ongoing or long-term issues of interest to at-large. Then there are also a number of ad hoc working groups that are both at the ALAC and RALO level, and they can form them to address specific projects or reach specific goals. Task forces, for example, the technology task force. There's also a task force for the new websites, et cetera, and these usually have a somewhat limited mandate to accomplish something in a short time frame. And again, as I mentioned, there are archive working groups, a number of working groups that have been active in the past. The ALAC will discuss whether to archive these, and they can come back at any time that there is a need to reactivate them. So I want to discuss the three types of working groups. I've identified basically three. The first one are policy-based working groups. Again, these are primarily to work on the policy issues of ALAC and at-large. The second type are the outreach and engagement. These basically work on development and implementation of activities focusing on increasing membership or enhancing the current membership. And, for example, promotional items, et cetera, those groups work on that. And then there are process-based working groups, and they primarily work on provision of advice of the ALAC on a specific project or an ongoing process in the activity. So, again, the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, the ALAC, the current ALAC and at-large organizational reviews. There's currently an at-large review working party, for example, that is now active. And then also processes required by ICANN for certain programs. So, for example, the CROC review team is one of those. So I'm not going to, I'm just going to skip, go through these and note where there are leadership possibilities and those that are more active. The first one of the policy-based working groups is the at-large ad hoc working group on IANA transition and ICANN accountability. Given the long name of that, we call that the transition working group. That membership is open for that. Olivier is the current chair, and that one is probably the most active working group at the moment. Last week, for example, it held two calls, so very active at the moment. The next two, the IDN working group, working on IDN issues and new GTLDs, are relatively inactive. In fact, they are quite inactive at the moment. There are chairs for the IDN working policy, the Edmund Chung and Satish Babu of AP RALO, but again, they have not, that group has not held a meeting in some time. It may be because ICANN now has developed other working groups where that work carries on in a cross-community type of approach. The new GTLDs working group, very active in the run-up to the launch of the new GTLDs, but again, currently does not have a chair. But I think as there are discussions for a second round or the next round, then that group, I'm assuming, will be quite active again. Registration Issues Working Group works on issues related to WHOIS activities as well. And there are two chairs, co-chairs for that, Holly Raich and Carlton Samuels. Has not been that active recently, but I suspect with the new PDP in the GNSO on that topic, that will come back again. So that might be a working group you may wish to join soon. And then Technical Issues Working Group, very inactive. Olivier is the interim chair, and that works on issues of safety and stability and security of the domain name. Okay, Outreach and Engagement Working Group. The Academy Working Group actually initiated was initiated by the at-large community, and since then it is in its current state somewhat inactive, but it is an expanded Academy Working Group that includes members from each of the ACs and SOs. the plans currently by Sandra, who is the chair of that, is to have a new call for membership as well as to make it a cross-community committee versus just from at-large. And what that group does is basically promote the concept of an ICANN Academy as well as develop and really be the lead source for the organization of the leadership programs. Several of you have gone through that, the leadership training program, and hopefully in the near future there will be additional training courses. The Atlas II Implementation Task Force. This working group was established after the second at-large summit to work on the 43 recommendations that were in the declaration, and that is ongoing, and hopefully will complete its mandate soon once the recommendations are fully implemented. And Olivier is the chair of that working group. And then the capacity building working group, that is a very active working group that is led by Tijani. And what they are primarily doing right now are the organization of the very regular capacity building webinars that are being held for all of at-large. And also serves as the umbrella working group for the regional-based webinars on capacity building. So if you were to join that one, for example, you could help in developing that kind of series of webinars. I believe, Gisela, or someone, I've lost my internet connection here to the AC. Let's see if I can get back quickly. Okay, I can. Next one then is the Cross-Community Committee on Accessibility, and that works on all issues related to accessibility for disabled or sight impaired, hearing impaired people within at-large. Garth, you're a member of that. That group has been rather successful in getting, for example, the captioning project off. That is going to start very soon now. And Cheryl, who's the chair, has made that a cross-community committee, and they're working on getting more members from all across the ACs and SOs. So that one is open. Next one is Subcommittee on Metrics. That one looks at, creates, develops, and proposes to the ALAC metrics and measures of performance expectations of the ALAC members and those representing at-large within groups, for example, the regional at-large organizations, and they are somewhat inactive at the moment. Okay, I have now completely lost my AC page, so if you could, Gisela, could you start developing or doing the slides, changing the slides?
Heidi, Gisela, I'm ready to change when you're ready.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so moving on then, we have the Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement. That one is led by Dev with five RALO co-chairs. That one is actually very active at the moment, particularly as we approach Marrakesh. They lead on both outreach and engagement activities, and for Marrakesh are planning the outreach and engagement activities there. So they have had two calls, or they've had one. They had one call on Marrakesh this past week and are having two this week. So if you are interested in any kind of outreach and engagement activities, that's a very active group to join. Okay, and then Social Media Working Group. This one is led by Dev, but very closely with Ariel. And what they do is develop strategy and review performance metrics via social media. For example, primarily at ICANN meetings, is that they will coordinate and they'll develop strategy and, to have a very effective social media campaign. And they have been quite successful in having actually ICANN do a lot of their retweets from the at-large social media. So well done to that group. And then the Technology Task Force, very active group led by Dev, but the co-chairs are Glenn and Judith from Neuralo, and what they look at are basically they evaluate and review ICT tools that can help at-large, in fact, all of ICANN better accomplish the goals. And we've had actually staff from our IT department congratulates the Technology Task Force for helping them better select tools that will reach the needs of all of the ICANN community. So they've had some good success there. Okay, moving on to process-based working groups. The first one is the ALS Criteria and Expectations Task Force. Alan, did you want to talk a little bit about that? If you can unmute.
I'll talk about it when we go on to the next section.
Okay. So this group, basically, this one was started late last year, and Alan is the main chair of that. There are also four design team leaders, and what they're looking for in a broad sense, basically, is to make sure that the expectations and criteria for at-large structures are up to a standard that will help them be as efficient as possible. And another aim is to have this group, this task force, complete its mission quite soon in order to be finished before the at-large review, which will be looking exactly at some of these issues, will really get started. So I think the timing is still, we're relatively okay for that timing still. At-large review working party, that leads me into that. And that is being led by Holly. That is looking, so far it's looking at the development of the RFP for the at-large review, and that has now been launched. And then the at-large review working party will continue to work with the staff for the organizational reviews. And as we get into, for example, the scheduling of interviews by the person or by the team, the external team leading the review, and the process works basically that once that report is finished, the board will approve the overall mandate of that, and then the company comes back into this working group who will then develop the improvements that are coming out of the recommendations by that report. So basically that group, the at-large review working party, will become more active and a critical group that will be implementing the at-large improvements in about a year's time, a little more than a year, 18 months. And then finally, the Crop Regional Outreach Pilot Program Review Team, that is a crop review team that is led by Dev at this time, and it is basically the group that coordinates and manages the at-large efforts related to the crop. And for those of you who don't know what that is that ICANN provides for each RALO, provide up to 5 regional trips. They're relatively short trips that are for outreach and engagement activities. So do take a look at any upcoming events that you think fit their strategy. Each of the RALOs have now had to develop outreach and engagement strategies primarily for the crop. And then if you're the meeting that you've identified, if that fits into the strategy, then you would submit it. It would go through the crop. And then the regional vice president from that region has to approve it, and then you might be able to get funding for that trip. Okay, very active at this time, or will be active now starting next week, is the Subcommittee on Finance and Budget, and several of you are members of that. What this does is, at least at this point, it looks at the special requests coming in from the RALOs, reviews them, works with the finance staff and the staff looking at that, working primarily on these requests, and then helps to review, encourage any kind of revisions, and then submit them in time for the process to be carried further with staff and the board. What they also do is they look at they serve as sort of a liaison between the budget and the staff working on that, the overall ICANN budget, and the ALAC and at-large. And that person currently is Tajani. Then the next group is the Ad Hoc New Meeting Working Party. And what that group did was looking at the new schedule for the ALAC and at-large at meetings A, B, and C that we're now going to go into. Marrakesh is the first such meeting. That will be an A meeting. And this group developed that strategy, which now I think that group will probably be archived shortly after meeting B, or at least after meeting C, I would assume. And then the next final one is the ad hoc website revamp group. This is a very small group. It's led by Ariel from staff, and it includes Olivier, Alan, and I believe Satish. And what they've done was that they helped in the development of the new at-large site, and they were given sort of a preview and played a very key role in the development of this new site. Okay, finally, how to join. So again, most of these groups are open. There are a few that are by appointment only. And you'll see also on each of the pages they're using a very similar template for each of the working group pages. Ariel, perhaps you could just put up one so they can see what that template is. And some groups will be identified, members will be identified either as member, where they have voting rights, or participant status. And again, that difference really only matters when there's a vote. Mostly the working groups, as of developing policy or process issues, they try to work by consensus. Okay? So if you want to join, please contact the working group chair or Alan or at-large staff to talk a little bit about what those working groups do. And if you'd like to, once you've decided you want to join, it's very easy to do so. And once you're on that membership list, you'll be getting regular emails for all calls, for action items, et cetera, on that. So to become an active member, join these working groups, ask Alan questions, contribute your expertise. All of you are part of ALAC because of your background and your knowledge and your expertise. Be curious and, of course, have fun. So, Alan, over to you.
Thank you very much. We're running way over, so I'm going to be moderately short on the next section. It's essentially the relationship between the ALAC and RALOs and the relationship between ALAC members and the RALOs. To be blunt, it ranges all over the place from people who believe that they are the ALAC members appointed by the RALO are essentially the servants of the RALO and should only do things as directed, which, by the way, is incorrect. The ALAC members are selected and are expected to actually be thinking bodies and make their own decisions. Now, that certainly can be done with consultation with the RALO, more so for the RALO-appointed people than the NOMCOM. But if the ALAC members were there just to essentially carry out the requests of the RALO, we wouldn't need a person. We could have a computer which would do that and relay the votes and things like that. So we do expect people to consult with the RALOs as appropriate, but work on their own. The ALAC members are the conduit, or at least one of the conduits, to the rest of the RALO, that is to the RALOs, to the ALSs. Very often we will send email out, sometimes we'll send email directly to individual ALSs, and we do it through the at-large and the ALAC announce list. But we try to keep traffic on that list at a minimum, and very often we'll send things to the ALAC list and expect the RALO leaders and the ALAC members from the region to pick up the issue and follow up on it with the ALSs, with particular people who are known to have an interest in the subject and things like that. So it's very much an issue of cooperative work with the RALO leaders. There's no single responsibility. So from that perspective, you are the conduits with your RALO, and that's important to remember that. The second thing is to remember the RALOs are relatively independent. As ALAC chair, I have no authority over RALOs. I might be consulted, I might give an opinion, but I can't tell them what to do. So there's a fair amount of independence, but independence also implies that there's no way to ensure that RALOs do their job well, and ALSs are involved. So part of the ALS expectation task force that we're looking at is also RALO expectation. And we're going to be putting in writing some of the responsibilities that right now are just sort of assumed and sometimes don't happen at all. So it's a relationship that's in transformation right now, and it's something you'll be hearing a lot more of as we go forward over the next couple of months. And that's all I'll say to that. The next section is Gisela, and again, we're running over. We had planned to do the whole part of our presentation in under an hour and then allow a fair amount of time for questions if there are any. But I'm sorry, I forgot. Sylvia also has a few things to say on RALOs, so we'll turn it over to Sylvia and then over to Gisela for logistics.
Yes, thank you very much, Alan. Just very briefly, I just wanted to reemphasize what you just mentioned, to work as a full partner with the RALOs. The RALO leaders are there to listen to your concerns and to learn also what is going on at the ALAC level. So reach out to them personally if you can and explain to them the issues that are being discussed within the ALAC and ask them to contribute, to get back to you, to give you feedback, and to contribute with their expertise. Solicit feedback from the RALOs and the LSS and the monthly call. The RALO has a monthly call each month. Every RALO has a monthly call, and they have a section on the public consultation. So that's the perfect timing for you to provide an update of what is going on at the ALAC level and also to get feedback from the LSS. So use that monthly call to communicate with the RALOs, with the leaders, and with the LSS. That's basically what I wanted to emphasize. And, of course, I am always available to be also a conduit, a liaison between the RALO leaders and the rest of the LSS within the RALOs. So that's all. Thank you very much.
And now over to Gisela.
Thank you, Alan. Gisela here. I won't take up much of your time. I just wanted to run through the logistics of the calls and how to make your life easier with scheduling these in your very busy day-to-day lives, as I fully understand that everyone being a volunteer, we try and make it as easy as possible for people to join and to have the best audio connections and to make the meetings as productive as possible with your presence on the phone calls. Just running through the calls, we have the ALAC monthly call. We have our regional calls. I'm just going to run through a few logistics to help you on the calls, and then the ICANN face-to-face meetings. Monthly calls, as you see, is the scheduled on the fourth Tuesday of each month. We have come up with rotating times to share the pain between everyone. And the schedule for 2016 will be sent out shortly before the call next week and hopefully approved on the call next week. We also have French, Spanish, and Russian interpretation on our ALEC monthly calls, so several language channels to choose from. And with regards to attendance and apologies, it's always very helpful if you are not able to make the call, if you could just send me a quick note, and in that way we can note the apology on the attendance for the calls, which we do track. And all the calls are listed on the Google Calendar. The meeting invitations we try and send out a week before the call, just to remind you, even though they are on the set fourth Tuesday of the month. And then we send a reminder 24 to 48 hours prior to the call, and just as to show you again on the main ALAC portal, we have the Google Calendar, which is always very helpful if you are looking to plan your week or possibly even your month. Secondly, the regional calls, which you are all implicated in, so the regional calls again are set on a specific day and a specific time. We have two regions which change times with daylight saving. Again, all listed on the Google Calendar as well as on your main RALO portal. We try and have the next call published, scheduled shortly after the monthly call. And again, reminders sent 24 to 48 hours prior to the call. For both the regional calls and the ALAC calls, we try and have a list of dial-outs. bearing in mind that the dial-ups are done by the Adiga operators, and in order for them to schedule their staff on each call, it helps for them to have confirmation on whether you will be attending the call or not. We try and call all the ALAC members who usually do have dial-outs on the various language channels. We try them a couple of times on the various networks, but you can well imagine that this does take up a lot of time from the operator. So any call confirmation or apology, again, will just allow for us to start on time and to have as many people on the call as possible and maximize the short time we already have for the calls monthly. Just a few logistics. I've just mentioned the Adiga Bridge dial-out requests. We're always happy to dial out to you. We're fully aware that it's not always at a very convenient time. So if, for instance, you're only able to join on Adobe Connect, that's great. If, however, you are scheduled to speak on the call, it often helps to do an audio test ahead of time because you can have internet issues with your Adobe Connect and your audio could possibly drop, whereas if you're on the audio bridge, we're more likely to be able to hear you. And it does make the job for the interpreters much easier. When they don't hear you or understand you, it's very difficult then for them to provide accurate interpretation. Raising hands in the Adobe Connect room, I think everyone's very, very familiar with that. Again, ahead of the call, if you're not in the Adobe Connect room, then we're always happy to take, if you could just say your name and we'll make sure that we put you in the speaker's queue. And the use of the interpretation services, so far so good. This will be discussed in the coming months as we look at the numbers of people joining the various language channels. And for the working groups, however, there is a minimum requirement of 3 people, but again, it depends on the active participation of the people who are joining the language channels. I see that Heidi has her hand raised. Heidi, would you like to speak now?
Yes, Gisela, just very briefly, I wanted to let you know how, very quickly, how we develop the schedule and the agendas for face-to-face meetings. Gisela works very closely with Alan and Leon on the actual schedule, and she has been amazing at putting the pieces of the puzzle together, particularly now that we have so many competing meetings and CCW meetings at ICANN meetings. For the agenda, I usually prepare the ALAC meeting with Alan, but I want to stress that these meetings are really for you, and Alan and Gisela review them on ALAC calls for about 3 or even 4 months prior to the ICANN meeting itself. So please do contribute your thoughts on the presentations, on the agendas as they're being developed. These meetings are for you. The RALO meetings and the working group meeting agendas are developed by the chairs of those bodies. So that's how those are developed. I just wanted to stress that. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. If I may, just the last final slide, which is just the ICANN public meetings face-to-face, the ALAC sessions, the coffee breaks, how we try and keep everything on time. So Heidi's mentioned how we set up the agendas. Then when we're on the ground, to make life easier for you, we send the schedule out every evening before with any amendments that are done for the following day, not only for the at-large meetings, but we also refer to other general sessions which may be of interest. And again, the wiki page agendas are those that are the most up-to-date as opposed to the main ICANN schedule, which is not updated daily during the ICANN meetings, the public face-to-face meetings. We do, however, keep the wiki pages as up-to-date as possible. The ALAC sessions usually run Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday for the main sessions. There may be a few amendments with the new meeting strategy plan, but we'll see how that pans out over this 2016. Again, coffee breaks, we have to now keep the coffee breaks within our schedules. So for Marrakesh, you'll be pleased to know that as it stands now, we haven't skipped any. And if we can just try and get back on time to try and to allow for the meetings to run on time. I know it's not always easy depending on where the coffee breaks are situated within the conference venues. Attendance and apologies. I try and note the attendance when we start our meeting for the first 10 minutes for the face-to-face meetings. If you're not able to join, if you're in another meeting, if you have any health issues, please just send me a quick note so that I can note your apology on the attendance. And last but not least, we do have meeting reports. We'll send the link ahead of the meeting, so please feel free to add reports on any other sessions that you attended during the week. And we do send reminders during the week to please fill in these reports as much as possible. Thank you. I'm not sure if anyone else has anything to add. I do believe that Ariel quickly wants to show you a quick ALAC page where you can also find all the meetings, which is on the new website. Ariel, thanks very much for doing that now.
Thank you, Gisela. I just want to show you there's a new page on the new site. It's called ALAC, and the way you find it is to click Community, and there's a drop-down ALAC that takes you to the ALAC page. And then you can see on the left navigation, there's a heading called Meetings and Events. And then those links that direct you to the corresponding wiki page that lists all the teleconferences of the ALAC and the ALAC leadership team, and also the face-to-face ICANN meeting wiki workspace that we created. So that's just a good resource for you to find relevant information. And also down below, there's what's new, and you can see what are the upcoming calls. And now you can see we have the ALAC new member onboarding call right here. And it's a Google Calendar application, and you can click on this link and add this event to your own calendar. So just to want to give you that quick note, and now you can explore this page on your own. And if you have questions, please feel free to reach out to me where I launch that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We had planned to have this session be a lot briefer and have time for more questions and answers. We're sort of running out of time, but if there is anything people want to raise now, then please. And if not, then you know where to find all of us on an ongoing basis for any clarification. Anyone have anything to say now? Or anything to ask?
Well, it's Tim. And I would like to thank Alan and the staff for organizing this, because the place is, to an outsider, an impenetrable maze, and it's very good to have this briefing. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tim. I will be candid. The document that is attached to the agenda that was on the display, it's a Google Docs document right now, was prepared by staff in preparation for the Dublin meeting, and I never actually got a chance to look at it until recently. It's really good. I do suggest you go through it. It'll probably answer some of the questions that we either glossed over today or didn't get a chance to do.
Denton again. Is this the briefing document they prepared?
I think, yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
And we can, Heidi, you may want to send a pointer around to all the people on this meeting so they can find it easily, even if they can't find the agenda.
What we'll do, Alan, is we've had a request from Kali to send all the slides from today's call, and we'll also be putting the link into to the ALAC onboarding document into that message.
Okay. Thank you all. Harold has his hand up. Go ahead, Harold.
This is Harold speaking. I just wanted to thank you for this call. It's been very illustrative. And I would also like to ask about the working group. In some working groups, like the outreach working group and the technology task force, is the exclusive language to work there is English. So before being a member of ALAC, I could participate, but there are several colleagues of mine in my region and in my LS in Venezuela that have not been able to participate because they can't really speak English. And so these actually limit participation. So my question is whether there is any of these groups originated within ALAC, and maybe we should protect the criterion of multilingualism and to open it up for other languages. Is it possible to do this? Is it possible to propose it and to suggest it?
Yeah,
thank you.
I'll answer that, Harold. As Gisela said, our practice for working groups is that if we have three people who are going to participate regularly in any given language, we will do our best to provide interpretation. So the answer is yes, but we will not do it all the time if there aren't people on the call that are needing it. So if people register ahead of time and say they're going to be participating, and we have three people in a language, then we will provide interpretation. The practice for ALAC meetings, ALAC members are supposed to have enough fluency to work in English, because otherwise they can't participate in other parts of ICANN. But as a courtesy and to make sure that all ALS and RALO members can listen in on these calls, we do provide interpretation. But for working groups, we do have a minimum of three.
Carol speaking. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. If there's nothing else, I thank you all for your participation. For those of you who got up very early to do this, thank you. And for those, well, the one for whom it is a holiday, thank you, Garth, for taking the time to participate. And we'll now adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. Please do feel free to contact us if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting has been adjourned and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you so much for joining today's call.